church. Let's stand to our feet and worship together.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to
turn to a neighbor and say one encouraging thing about that neighbor. Just tell them one encouraging thing about themselves. All right, let's make our way back to our seats, but please remain standing. Thank you. Let's dive back into worship together.
Coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Just sing it out. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Jesus, your name is power, breath and life.
Shift focus to the scripture for just a moment. We're going to read out of Psalms, and the passage is Psalm 71, verses 14 through 16. It says, "As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds and yours alone." In that proclamation, you're not just proclaiming it for yourself so that you would know it's true. You're proclaiming it for others so that they would hear about him, that they would know him as well. And as we go through our lives, sometimes we get bottled up and we get kind of bottlenecked by things going on in our life and focusing on our own issues. And we come to church and we praise, and that's great, but are we praising every day of our life? Are we praising at work? Are we praising at the grocery store? Are we telling people of his righteous acts? That's something we need to be thinking about. Are we doing that part of our life? Some of us are, some of us aren't. Let's take a little self-analysis this week and just figure out if we can dig a little deeper and if we can start doing that in areas of our life where maybe we haven't previously been doing that. Thank you for being here with us this morning. No matter what kind of week we've had or what kind of morning we've had, the Lord, in this moment, we can lay ourselves at your feet and you can renew us and you will renew us, Lord, and you promise that that will happen, that your burden is light. Lord, I pray that we would come to you with any burdens that we have and we would do that very thing this morning. I pray, God, that we would be receptive to everything you have for us this morning and that we would not harden our hearts, but we would soften our hearts and open them to receive. Lord, I pray that you would be with Pastor Forrest as he brings forth your word, and that you would be speaking to us on a level so much deeper than before. And I pray that we'd be receptive to that and also to your Holy Spirit indwelling us, teaching us, and moving us. Lord, I pray all this in your name. Amen.
Every once in a while, I have a brilliant idea. And so we had the young couple's small group was over at our place, and we were doing Bible study doing a discussion and stuff. And so one of the couples has a young child. His name is Gabriel, and so I was kind of babysitter for Gabriel, and I'm like walking Gabriel around, and then so what the group would do is they'd kind of sit together and they'd talk, and so I'd give them a question, and they would kind of go around the circle and talk to each other, and then I'd go play with Gabriel, and then when he was done, and then when they were about almost done, I'd come back and I'd give them another question, and then I'd go play with Gabriel. This is absolutely brilliant. I can't even really take credit for it because it just happened this way. So anyways, we asked these two questions and they went around and they had good discussion and all. And I'm getting ready to add the third, or we're getting ready to finish. And so I've got Gabriel in my arms. I'm holding him like this. And so I take him up and I said, okay, because the discussion, what we're talking about is how husbands treat wives and how wives treat their husbands and just how you should do it the way God says to do it. That was the thing. And so I'm standing here in this group with Gabriel in my arm. And I'm saying, what you guys need to understand is, it's more than just how you treat each other, but you don't understand because Gabriel is watching you. And he's going to learn how he should someday treat his wife by what he sees in you guys. And it was just a perfect lesson because Gabriel is so cute. And everybody looks at him like, oh, and they're like, oh. See, it's not just how I treat my wife, you know, within the couples. And it's just not just how the husband or the wife treats the husband. But as you're doing that, that affects other people. In this case, Gabriel. And that is a very, very difficult concept for us to wrap our minds around. How what we do every day affects the people around us. It does. For good or for ill. And that's an important thing that what I'm hoping to do this morning is I want to kind of carry us through to that point where we're starting to see that what we choose to do or what we choose to not do in our lives affects the people around us. And how do we choose those things which are helpful, which are an encouragement to the people around us? How do we get ourselves to the place where what we're doing and what we're saying is an encouragement to the people around us? And this morning we're going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So if you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn with me. 1 Thessalonians. And 1 Thessalonians is a book that is written from Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, written to a group of people, and they're a group of believers that are assembled in a town called Thessalonica. And just for a little bit of history so you can hear what happened is that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were there, and they were ministering for at least 3 weekends, we know, maybe longer, we don't know for sure. They were there for at least 3 weekends, and at some point after that, they were rushed out of the city. They had to be pushed, they had to be taken right out of the city because the mob was going after them. And so what happened is that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are looking back at this church and they're wondering, I wonder how you guys are doing. And so in chapter 3, which is where we are today, in chapter 3 we're going to read how that church is doing. And what we're going to see is that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are letting them know that what they're doing is making a difference in their lives. How they're living, the way that they're acting out their faith is an encouragement to Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And why that's important for us, or what I hope to help us to begin to see, is that the decisions that we make on a daily basis, those decisions have the capacity to be an encouragement to other people. And we're going to see how. And I'll give you some examples of how that works a little bit for us here. So we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 10. And we're going to see a couple of things. We're going to see that that faith encourages ease, energy, enjoyment, and effort. Faith encourages, and what we're going to be talking about here is the expression of our faith. When we take those opportunities to express our faith by being obedient to do what we know is right, those expressions encourage other people, give them comfort, give them energy, give them enjoyment, and it gives them a motivation to do more. This is what we're going to look at here this morning. And the first thing is that our faith expressed encourages ease. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 6, and we're going to go through verse 7. It says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you. So Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are talking, and they're talking about how Timothy has come back. He was sent out to check out this church, see how they were doing, find out how their faith was doing, and now Timothy has come back, and he says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love. The report that Timothy brought back was good news. He said, okay, guys, I know you were worried about how these believers were doing, but hey, I've got some good news for you. They're doing good. This is their faith, and he explained how they were living out their faith, the things that they were doing, and their love. The love here is probably directed towards Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. It says, and our love, because you look at the end of the verse there, verse 6, it says, and that you always think kindly of us. That your thoughts, whenever you think about, whenever these believers were thinking about Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, they had good thoughts about them, always. And longing to see us just as we also long to see you. See, both groups were longing intensely to see each other. They wanted to see each other. And there was a love that was expressed between them. And what Paul and Silvanus were doing is they were encouraged because they heard that these guys were living by faith. And so then in verse 7 it says, for this reason, after hearing the report, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and afflictions, in all of the complications, the persecution, the difficulty, the afflictions that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were having, in all our distress and afflictions, we were comforted about you through your faith. See, we were comforted, we were encouraged when we heard the report of what your faith was doing. And here in Thessalonica and here in this text, the concept of faith is more than just belief. Faith, oftentimes when we hear the word faith, we think it's about believing something, and that's partially true, but the belief also has to be matched up with action. And that's what was happening in this Thessalonican church. They were believing what Paul and Timothy said was true, and they were acting on it. And then Timothy brought them this report back. Hey, they're acting on their faith. And Paul and Timothy said, we're encouraged. We are comforted by your faith. And that is the thing that I want us to begin to look at is you express your faith in a real way. As you do that, that provides comfort for other people. Let me explain a little bit. Let me give you a situation that will help to understand why that's true. But the comfort, the expression of faith provides that comfort for other people. I have several people throughout the week that I text with. There's several people that I text with. One person in particular, we text on a pretty regular basis. And this individual tells me basically what he's reading in his Sunday morning devotional time, and then tells me how he's processing it and how he's thinking differently, how he wants to act differently and all. And it's comforting for me to hear about this interaction between this person and the Bible, even though I'm not there, I'm not a part of it, but it's comforting to me because I see the way that the Lord is moving in his life. And that's when you and I begin to act out our faith, to live out our faith in a real and tangible way. It provides comfort for people that watch because they see the way that God is working in your life. And so the thing is that we have to become people who are living out our faith because that provides encouragement for the people that are around us. It gives them comfort in their own walk and their own journey. But then we keep on and going and say, there's something else that it not only gives them a comfort, but it also gives ease, makes life easier. And so Paul and Silvanus and Timothy write in verse 7, it says, verse 8, for now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. For now, after having heard this good report, we really live. We're living life to a new level. There's a new lease on life, if you will. We have a new orientation to our lives. We are really living if you stand firm in the Lord. This report brought back news that these men and women in this church were standing firm in their faith. And as they heard this report, it gave them a new vitality. It gave them a new lease. They were enthusiastic and excited about going ahead and moving forward because they knew that these guys were standing firm. And that is something that as we live out our faith, as we express our faith, that provides encouragement for the people around us, that provides enthusiasm for them that they can also do the same. The couple of these past few weeks, I usually have opportunities to meet with people and talk, and whenever we run into a situation where we don't know what to do, we're not sure what we should do next, or they're not sure what the next step would be for them in their life, I have a tendency to tell them what we should do is pray about this. And so whenever I say, hey, let's pray about this, generally what I'm saying is you go home, and in your prayer time, you pray about it, and I go home, and in my prayer time, and I'll pray about it. And that's, we should pray about this issue, whatever the issue is. Well, this past week, I met with someone, and we were talking about that situation. I said, we should pray about this. This is something we should pray about. And the individual said, great idea. So it just cleared everything off, and let's do it right now. And I was a little bit shocked when it happened, because I was kind of like, that wasn't what I was thinking. But at the same time, I was excited, because the person wanted to just pray right there. So there, in public, we prayed, and we've been continuing to pray as well, that the Lord would show us what to do. And that was kind of like a life-giving thing to me. It kind of gave me a sense of enjoyment, because I saw someone's faith in action. And the same thing is true for us. As we live out our faith, and as we know the things that we should do, and as we do them, it's an encouragement to other people. When they see what we're doing, they're like, wow, that's pretty neat. That's pretty exciting to see someone living out their faith. And it gives them a sense of really living life. So when we have opportunities to live out our faith, when we see those opportunities to live out our faith, I want you to see those as opportunities to be an encouragement to the people around you. First of all, that living out our faith gives them comfort. The second of all, it gives them a sense of living. And then in verse 9, we're going to see that it can also give them a sense of joy. It gives them a sense of joy. Look with me at verse 9. For what thanks can we give to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice because of you before our God? And so what Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are saying is, it's a rhetorical question. For what thanks can we give to God? How much thanks would we need to give to God for the joy that you've given to us? And the answer is, the expected answer, the anticipated answer is, there's no way we could give enough joy, we can give enough thanks for the joy that has been brought into the lives of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy because of these believers. It says, for what thanks can we give to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice because of you before our God? And as they look back and hear this story about how their faith is being expressed, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy hear this, and their reaction is, we can't find enough words to say. There isn't enough time left for us to give thanks to God to match up with the joy that we have because of how your faith is being lived out. And that is how, as you and I look for opportunities to express our faith in life, that becomes an encouragement to people, and it gives them a sense of joy when they see that. Just like it was with Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, it can also be in our lives as well. A couple of months ago, I met with a couple, and we were just talking over dinner and just talking about some different things. And my primary purpose behind asking them to meet with me was because I wanted to talk to them about being involved in a ministry around here, the greeting ministry. I said, hey, you guys want to be, that was primary. But we talked about different things. How you doing? How are things going? How's this going? All the different things that are going. And when it came time to ask them, I said, hey, I want you guys to think about maybe being involved in this ministry. And they said, we'll do it. Like right away. And I said, well, wait a minute, you need to know what it's all about. And I said, we don't care, we'll do it. And it was kind of fun. I was kind of like, I was having fun with it. Because in part of my head, I was just kind of like, wow, that was really cool. Because I didn't even explain how hard it would be or how easy it would be. They didn't care, they just wanted to do it. And that was a neat situation to me. It filled me with a bunch of joy because it was so neat to hear somebody who just wanted to do ministry. And as you and I look for opportunities to express our faith in the midst of our lives, as we express our faith, that gives joy to the people who see it. They watch our expressions of faith and say, man, that is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. Verse 10 then gives the final thing, and this is a way that our joy, that joy, or the way that our faith is expressed. As that faith is expressed, then it gives us, it motivates us to put more effort in. And we see this in verse 10. It says, as we keep praying, so this is Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, as we keep praying most earnestly, night and day, they have been praying, especially in the absence. And now they're continuing to pray as we keep praying most earnestly night and day. And there's two things generally they're praying about. That we may see your faces, that we may see you face to face, and that we may complete what is lacking in your faith. See, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy know that they need to go back to these believers because they need to provide what is lacking in their faith. And what is lacking in their faith is knowledge about what they should do. These believers believe, they have this belief, they know that what Paul and has said is true. They know it's true. And what they need to do now is they need knowledge to know what they should do. And that's what they're missing. That's the part of the component that's missing. And so Paul and Silvanus said, we're praying night and day that we get to see you, and we want to come and we want to give you knowledge about what you should do. And so the challenge, I believe, for us, the challenge for us is as we are looking for opportunities to express our faith, the first part that we need to have with that is a belief that it's true, but the second component that we need is that element of knowledge. And that is the element that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy wanted to bring to them. They wanted to bring them that knowledge. And a challenge that I have for you is if you're looking for opportunities around you to be an encouragement to the people around you, I want to challenge you to continue to learn about your faith. Continue to grow. Continue to learn about your faith. Learn about what it means to be a believer. Learn about what it is that God wants you to do. And learn about how you can carry that out in your life. And that, as you learn and as you grow in that, that will be an encouragement to the people around you. There's several ways that you can get that knowledge. One of the things that it may be good for some of you is to start making a commitment to read your Bible every day before you leave the house. Read your Bible, just to sit down for a few minutes and read through the Bible every day before you leave, whether you're going to school or whether you're going to work, whether you're going to do some errands. Another opportunity is maybe you need to learn more. There are some classes that meet here at the church. We have a class that meets at 9:30 in the morning before this service, going through some foundations. That'd be a place you could learn. That class is set up and intended to help us to learn how to grow in our faith. And there's some other opportunities that are available to you as well. You can take some online classes. There's some resources that I can let you know about and let you know about their existence so that you can look for the opportunity in order to increase your faith and to work towards increase in your faith. So my challenge to you this morning is to look for those opportunities to keep growing in your faith. Keep your mind open and keep your eyes open to the ways in which the people around you are watching. This morning, what we tried to do in the meet and greet time was to give you an opportunity to talk to people and encourage them. And I hope that if you were able to step into that time and you were able to do that, it's wonderful to be encouraged by someone else. And it's wonderful to be an encouragement to other people. And that opportunity comes up very often for us as we learn for ways and look for ways to express our faith in our lives. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to come into your house and to be together with other believers. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look for opportunities to grow in our faith, to grow in our knowledge of our faith. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take those opportunities and express our faith to the people around us, and that that would be an encouragement to them as they are on their journey as well. We love you and we pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. At this time in the service, we have a time of communion. And if you didn't receive one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, just raise your hand and we have some people that will be happy to get those for you in the back. This is what we understand to be the Lord's table. We call this the Lord's table. This is not our table. This is the Lord's table. So if you are here this morning, you're not a member of this church. You don't have to be a member of this church in order to participate in this. This is a reflection for those of us who have an intimate relationship with God through Christ. This is a reflection for us back to a time when Jesus was willing to go to the cross and allow himself to be crucified and killed in order to provide payment for the penalty of our sins. And in so doing, he has provided a way for us to have an intimate relationship with God now that was not possible before. And so what this time is a time to remember when Jesus did that. There's the time with the bread, which signifies his body, which was broken. There's the time with the cup, which signifies his blood that was spilled. And what we're doing is we're remembering the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. So if you reveal the top part, in 1 Corinthians we read, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
Well, church, to conclude our service, we just have a couple of announcements, things I'd like to make you aware of. If you haven't picked up a bulletin, strongly encourage that you do. There's a lot of very useful information to help point you to some events that are going to be going on in the near future. The first one, very exciting, Ladies of Redeemer on October 18th from 11 to 1 p.m. Autumn Bogner will be having a baby shower here at the church. It'll be in the fellowship hall. Guys, sorry, we're excluded. If you want to come help set up, the rest of us, feel free. But just for the ladies of the church, as well as starting this Wednesday from 6 to 8:15 p.m., will be choir and handbells practice. It'll be split the time for each of those things. You can see the bulletin for more information, as well as see Joan if you have any other questions regarding that. On the back side of the bulletin, you can see information at the bottom for ways to give. Do it in person as well as through the Church Center app, which, speaking of the Church Center app, if you look a little bit above there, if you don't have a bulletin, it says, "Go to the Church Center app to record your sermon response." When you go on the app, you can see a place on the main screen. On the website, I'm sure it's there as well. To record, think a little bit more deeply about the sermon, ways that you can respond to it. In addition, there in the bulletin, you see a list of names underneath there. Pastor didn't ask me to say this, don't worry. But you see a list of names, staff in our church. And I'd like to add an additional application this week as you strive to read your Bible each morning. Maybe pick up a bulletin, maybe tuck in your physical Bible, or maybe take a picture and just keep it in mind for each of these names. And commit to each day as you read your Bible, pray for one of these names. It's five names, Monday through Friday. Should be easy to do. But just praying for those who are serving in our church faithfully, some who are a little bit more public figures, some who maybe don't get noticed and publicly appreciated as much. So I just ask that you would do that as well. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity for us to gather together in worship of you. We just pray that our praise would be glorifying to you, and Lord, that you would just use your word to send us forth this week to honor you with everything that we do, and that you would just be praised in all of that. Lord, we just pray this all in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you, church. Have a good week.